It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer.
My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, good news is the Irish got the win they needed. They put up 66 points, more than any other team since 1977. But, and I'll be at the game Saturday night, so I'm excited about that. But I got two glaring issues that have got me nervous.
Just two?
One,
that's
the running
good.
Game.
That's good. We can work for two.
One would be the running game, and two would be the linebacker play. Both showed improvement. Well, I don't know about the running game. Definitely, I thought the linebacker play improved from the Louisville game. And who knows? I don't know. Maybe Louisville's better than we think. There's a few arguments for that. But, boy, I tell you, I'm just curious what your thoughts are. You think there's any chance in hell that we can overcome those glaring issues? Or is it just, you know, it is what it is. We're not going to get any help from the refs. We know that. It's a tough ask to think that we can walk into Athens and come out with a win.
Yeah. I mean, like any big game on the road, you know, we're going to have to play great. I think Georgia's going to have to make some mistakes. I think we're going to have to outscore them somehow. Obviously, I mean, that sounds ridiculous. But you know what I mean? It's, in other words, I don't think that we're going to keep them, you know, under 20 points. I was thinking today, you know, the storyline is there for the taking, because I think it's pretty clear that sort of two of the kind of the bright young talents on this Notre Dame team are from the state of Georgia, Kyle Hamilton and Tommy Tremble. You know, they're guys that sort of fit the profile that could probably, you know, that could definitely, I think, start on even the best teams in the SEC, other best, you know, the best teams in the country for sure. And it got me thinking to other Notre Dame football players from the state of Georgia and which ones we'd like to have on the roster this weekend. And I think it'd be nice to have Stephon Tuitt and put him in the middle. I think it'd be nice, even nicer to have Wes Pritchett, who I'm pretty sure was from Georgia, and just put him at the Mike linebacker. And I think we could probably use
who was the running back that we had?
Darius Walker, right? Walker. Yeah, I think it'd be nice to have.
Wouldn't mind having him.
It wouldn't hurt to have Darius Walker. He somehow figured out a way to get 4 yards over and over.
Yeah, oh god,
and over.
He was amazing. He's just an amazing running back. But you know, I think the tough part is, look, it's not going to surprise me at all if Book has 50 pass attempts. You know, I think Notre Dame's going to have to go with what gives you the best chance to win the football game, and I don't think handing the ball off is going to do it.
Has 50 pass attempts, that means we ran 50 plays, which I think is a good place to start.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, if Book can throw for 450 yards and we rush for 35, I'm totally fine with that. But it's going to take that.
You don't want to hear the statistics about which team wins if they throw for 450 yards and run for 30, how often that team wins the game. So,
yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. I mean, I think I watched, I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of the Georgia-Arkansas State game. You know, I think the nod from an offensive line standpoint goes to Georgia. I don't think there's an argument against that. I think Georgia has more playmakers, obviously, at running back than we do. But surprisingly, for a team that pretty much lost their receiving core, they still look like they got some stud athletes.
Well, of course they have stud athletes. I mean, they're, you know, they obviously have been, you know, they've been one of the better sort of recruiting stories in the country. Obviously, they've done that very well. I mean, this is a very interesting game. To me, the pressures should really be on Georgia. I mean, Notre Dame's a double-digit underdog. You know, Georgia is, you know, they played for the national championship, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? And their fan base and the SEC fan base is still kind of like, show us something, Georgia. You know, I get that. You know, they want to take that step into the Alabama Clemson duopoly, or maybe I should say Clemson-Alabama duopoly. I think what you're saying is that this is not a good matchup for Notre Dame, in addition to the fact that it would be a tough game no matter what. If Notre Dame was at full strength, if Notre Dame had Jafar and Michael Young and Cole Kmet is going to play, we're not sure about Jameer Smith, how effective he'll be. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, listen, the offensive line not only has to create a little bit of running room, but they have to pass protect. I mean, I'm not convinced, that they've, and I know some of it's been Ian Book's happy feet against Louisville, but I'm not a believer yet. They have not, they certainly haven't sort of come out of the gate dominating or swinging. And that concerns me because for Notre Dame to have a chance, like you said, they're either going to have to keep Book upright so that he could try and win the game through the air, or they're going to at least have to give Notre Dame a semblance of a running game to keep Georgia off balance and to create some play action situations and to eat up some clock.
Georgia, the truth of the matter is, you're right. The pressure's really on them. I mean, it's a home game. They're double-digit
favorites. Yeah.
So that being the case, I mean, I can easily see Georgia coming out and being a little
tight,
iffy. Yeah, in the first quarter. Notre Dame has got to pounce on that, and the only way that we have a shot is if they pounce on it quickly and score off of that. They're going to have that window of opportunity right in that first quarter, and they have to pull it off right then and there. If they don't, then all of a sudden the mojo starts to build on Georgia's side, and I just think the confidence and the level of talent is going to be way too much to overcome.
It's a little concerning because we started so slowly on defense against Louisville, and we started very slowly on offense, against New Mexico. So you're right. You got to come out of the gate. This is all going to be about containment for a half hour, right? Or 40, 45 minutes to it. You've got to sort of keep, within one score for the first half. And that's kind of how you play a big game on the road, right? You kind of take that crowd, and they're going to be frenzied, and you just have to sort of hang in there. And that means, avoiding the big play, avoiding the big mistake on offense, winning the field position battle. And that is very difficult to do, if you're basically, if they're just racking up the TFLs and you're not, moving the ball at all, on the ground. So, Notre Dame's a good football team.
I think that Notre Dame did what they needed to do on Saturday against New Mexico. They proved that they're capable of competing with Georgia. But
would New Mexico beat Arkansas State?
A lot of things got to go their way. Yeah, right. A lot of things got to go their way to win. Yeah, the other thing, Ed, I think, just so Notre Dame fans aren't kidding themselves, this idea that we might show up with a bunch of green jerseys in the stadium is not going to happen.
What? What's that? I don't know.
Do not think that all of a sudden we're going to pull a reverse on Georgia and a bunch of green shirts are going to be in the stadium.
No, that will not happen.
You're going to get your 8,000 tickets that were allotted to you, and probably 2,000 of them are going to be red jerseys.
Probably.
So it's going to be a tough, tough battle in a tough environment for the Notre Dame players to be in a place like that.
Yeah, but you know what? I've been in all these vaunted places, okay? I mean, whether it's Neyland Stadium in Tennessee in their heyday, and I was in Death Valley in Baton Rouge when they were if you control the line of scrimmage somehow, if you get a lead, those places get quiet, just like Notre Dame Stadium in those years when Notre Dame's getting pounded by somebody or losing to somebody they should be beating. Granted, it's an advantage.
That's exactly right. It comes down to that first quarter. Yeah, it really does. You've got to take them out of the situation as early as possible. And the tightest Georgia is going to be all night long is going to be in the first quarter. There's just no doubt about it.
I think the tightest that they're going to be is with 10 minutes left in the game. you know, if they're winning 17-14 or 21-20 or, you know, there's 5 minutes left in the game and Notre Dame's winning 21-20 or 34-31 or something like that, that's when they're going to be like, holy sh, we might lose this thing. I think that, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, Kirby Smart won't spit the bit if, you know, if the, if there's real game pressure on in the fourth quarter. You know, I'm not sure that, that, you know, Fromm and, you know, a freshman receiver won't drop a ball or, you know, somebody might, you know, so that's what you've got to do. It's a little bit like basketball. You got to put them under game pressure. Because believe me, they know they're double digit favorites, and no matter what their coaches try to do this week, you know, they're going to look at film and they're going to be like, you know, we're going to run the ball down these guys' throats.
Yeah, they're going to run all over us right now if you look at film. That's exactly right. So I guess it'd be kind of interesting. What do you, I mean, here's what I kind of think is going to happen. It's not going to surprise me at all if we come out and dink and dunk on them as best we possibly can. So we'll complete those short little passes. And then I think Book will try and keep them honest. There'll be a couple deep throws in that first quarter just to keep them honest. But I think we're going to just dink and dunk, and we're going to have guys make plays. You're going to have to get guys to miss tackles to get the first down. Otherwise, it's going to be a long-ass night for us.
Well, I mean, you know, I haven't kind of looked deeply at, you know, what Georgia has going on in the secondary. But if you can pass pro a little bit and then, you know, throw the back shoulder stuff to Claypool and McKinley, throw the, you know, and he's got to make those throws where only Claypool, McKinley, or Kmet can catch them, right? Or Tremble. You know, those are big guys that are likely to get into, you know, matchups that they can handle.
Right.
You know, use their physicality, you know, get some yards after the catch. And that's, you know, listen, Chip Young, Brian Kelly, what the hell do they have to lose? I mean, you know,
no,
I mean,
right.
Yes.
No,
what are people going to say? You know, if Notre Dame loses 31-3, they're still going to go 8-2 and they're going to get hung up with the same, you know, with the same sort of, you know, label that they already have. But listen, you know, this was very similar going to Norman, Oklahoma, another hotbed of college football. I think Notre Dame was they were definitely an underdog. I don't know by how much going to Norman.
Yeah, they were. I think it was like a 7.
At least,
point,
yeah, right?
I think it was like a 7 point underdog. Yeah, I mean, you know, Notre Dame, just so everybody knows, it's been 2005 is the last time Notre Dame went on the road to a top 5 program and beat them. So it's been a while. But to say that there's not a chance, it's not that at all. There's definitely a chance. It's just that the execution is going to have to be ridiculous. And I do think that, you know, like you say, I think, the coaching staff that Notre Dame has put together is totally capable of putting a game plan together to beat Georgia. They're definitely capable of it. The question is going to be, do we have the players step up and make the big plays, because we're going to need it, and we might arguably need it on defense more than on offense. I do think Claypool, like you say, and Kmet and McKinley, these guys are going to have to create that separation so that Book can have the perfect throw. And these are big physical guys that are capable of doing it. But, you know, with everything, it's going to have to be a monumental effort of a flawless football game put together and us taking advantage of the right situations to eke out a win at Georgia. It's just a big ask. And I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I really don't. I don't think we're going to get blown out, but I just think that to overcome the deficiencies we have so far in the season at this moment is a little bit too much to ask.
I mean, I think, you know, I think the four most important guys on defense are, you know, Gilman, Elliott, Hamilton, and Pride. I mean, I think for a couple reasons. You know, I know we talk a lot about stopping the run, but I think those are the guys that that we are going to rely on to limit the big chunk plays, right? You know, those are the guys that make a 36-yard gain, a 12-yard gain. Those are going to be the guys that turn a, you know, maybe tip a ball away, you know, that otherwise would have been caught for a touchdown. Those are the guys that are going to be especially important in the red zone for keeping the ball out of the end zone and forcing a field goal attempt. You know, that back four to me, are, you know, the best, defense we have on keeping the game within reach. And then on offense, to me, you know, the four or five most important guys, you know, are tackle to tackle. I mean, they have got to play at a much higher level, especially right out of the gate, than they have the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, you know, Notre Dame was 1-for-10 on third down against New Mexico. Now, granted, they went on to convert a couple fourth downs, but, you know, too many of those third downs were 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-1. And, you know, Notre Dame, you know, the back got hit in the backfield. Now, I know, you know, we're not playing with Barry Sanders and Vegas Ferguson and Julius Jones in the backfield. But to me, when you're playing New Mexico and you've got a good, some people say, you know, potentially great offensive line, you know, you can have Sebo Flemister or, you know, some pedestrian sort of three-star running back there, and they're still going to get 5, 6, 7 yards a carry. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. You're going to have a serviceable running back. You know, a great running back behind an average to below average to poor offensive line is going to get 1 or 2 yards a carry. An average to below average running back behind a great offensive line is going to get 7, 8 yards a carry, 6, 7 yards a carry. So,
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I think that's going to have to show up Saturday night is the defensive line is going to have to put more pressure than they've done or shown in the first two games. You know, we went into the season with that being one of the potentially strongest points of a Notre Dame football team we've seen in the last 20, 30 years. I mean, this was arguably the best defensive line we had returned in a long time. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to tell against Louisville and New Mexico, but certainly against Georgia, if we don't get any pressure on Fromm at all, that is going to be a major problem.
Well, I think we're getting better, but I think what you're seeing is the defensive ends have a lot more trouble getting to the quarterback when there's no Jerry Tillery in the middle, just taking up 2 or 3 guys. But, you know, I think that I would imagine that Georgia's game plan is going to be, hat on hat, you know, we'll go 5 against your 8.
Yeah, and you're going to stop our run first. Before we do
right,
anything.
Exactly. That's and right. and I would imagine way. That Clark yeah. Lee is going to put, you know, Pride and Sean Crawford on an island take his chances, you know, and he's going to have Gilman hitting the gaps, you know, and maybe Elliott will play center field, and basically he's going to have 8 guys in the box.
His best
tackler is Gilman. You know, maybe his second best tackler is White, and you know, hopefully that they're going to shed blockers, or they're going to have good run fits, and you know, they're going to make Fromm, you know, they're going to put him in at least, you know, a couple 3rd-and-6, 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8 situations. Now, my personal opinion is that at least in the first and second quarter, until they don't have any success, Kirby Smart's going to be perfectly happy to, you know, run the ball on 3rd-and-5, run the ball on 3rd-and-6, run a counter, run a draw, run a shovel pat, whatever. And I think that Notre Dame's going to have to be ready for that. I think Notre Dame's got to they have to play for the run, you know, even on 3rd-and-long for a while, just to let Georgia know that this is how we're going to play it. And you're literally going to have to, even on 3rd-down or 3rd-and-long or 2nd-and-12, you're literally going to have to throw the ball down the field if you want to advance the football. Now, I think that's wishful thinking if you're a Notre Dame fan, but boy, it'd be really interesting if it starts to play out that way a little bit, or at least, you know, keeps them into, you know, their you know, drives are maybe not 3 and out, but, you know, 5, 6, 7 plays and a 3rd-down, and, you know, field position is going to be so important.
Well, I think if Fromm has more than 12 pass attempts in the first half, we're going to be in a good spot.
That could be. Yeah.
I just don't know that I'm going to see that, because I think you're right. I think Kirby Smart's going to say, all right, you stop our run, and then we'll adjust. But until you stop our run, that's all you're going to
say. Well, you know, our hope is that, you know, maybe I don't know who the offensive coordinator for Georgia is, you know, but maybe, you know, this often infects, or at least it did at one time, not as much now, but I still think it's there for a lot of, you know, maybe they're infected, but they decide to be too cute by half, and they decide that they're going to come out and throw the ball a little bit and go against their tendencies or whatever. I mean, if that happens, then I think Notre Dame's already won one of the first mini battles. I mean, I doubt that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I would agree.
But because, you know, then all it takes is you introduce the element of, you know, a tip ball like we had on Saturday, or, you know, a pass broken up that falls into Gilman's arms or something like that. And immediately momentum is, you know, is stymied, and Notre Dame's, you know, kind of playing with a little bit of swagger. So, I'd be very surprised if that happens. I think Georgia will just, you know, play it by the book and say, okay, stop us. But boy, wouldn't that be hilarious. And if I was a Georgia fan, I'd be pretty pissed off that,
he'll be on Kirby a little bit.
But you know, coaches so often, they overthink this stuff. They really do.
No, you do. You're right. They do. I think what's kind of cool is the number one, the level of intensity of a game like this, for Georgia at a conference, third week of the season, ticket prices are higher than anything they've seen in the last 5 years. It's like one of the top five games in the last 5 years, and which surprisingly included Georgia in most of them. So, I mean, that gives you an indication of what their fan base is like.
Can you imagine? Imagine what would be going on if Notre Dame was relevant? I mean, think of the ticket prices if Notre Dame was relevant. Oh my word!
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be a great game. I do. You know, it can go a bunch of different ways. That's the thing about college football. You know, you got 18 to 22 year old kids who emotion does have a major impact on the game, unlike the pros. You know, the pros emotion only goes so far, right? You know, the Miami Dolphins are not going to get emotional enough to be able to handle the Patriots. It just isn't going to happen. But on any given Saturday, it can happen in college football. And Notre Dame is of the caliber and has the talent on a given Saturday to compete with Georgia and potentially pull off the upset. But on paper, you look at this and you say, okay, it's not going to be their night. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see all this unfold to see if, in fact, you know, like you say, Georgia outthinks themselves a little bit, couple tip balls, couple turnovers that normally don't happen, and then lo and behold, you're in a dogfight in the fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, that's what we got to hope for, right? And then, you know, you'll be there screaming, and I'll be in my living room screaming, it's probably going to be close to midnight, you know, before it's all over.
Right. Well, it's an 8 o'clock start, so it is a late start.
Yeah.
Kickoff is probably going to be what, 8:10?
Yeah.
8:15?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, like if we're not, if you're not in a, you know, the most expensive Uber of all time back to Atlanta by 11 o'clock, and if I'm still, you know, up and watching and sort of, on my right, second gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream, then that's what you got to hope for.
Yeah.
Well,
let's hope for it. I think it's going to be an interesting game. There'll be, plenty to decipher after the game. That's for sure. But, major task in front of the Irish. And, I think it's legit that they're a double-digit underdog. I don't think that's out of whack. It is what it is. But you just never know. This will be an interesting game to watch, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully it stays that way for all four quarters.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of disagree with – I mean, I get the sentiment about, you know, if you know, Notre Dame's got to win this game and, you know, to sort of, you know, validate their progress and et cetera, et cetera. You know, I get all that. But it's a pretty tall ask, and I know there's not a moral victory if they, you know, if they cover the spread or if they acquit themselves well, but lose, you know, I don't want that to happen. But listen, that result is a hell of a lot better than, you know, losing 38-7. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, if they play hard and play well and look good and maybe a break doesn't go their way and they lose, that still leaves the door open for the playoff picture.
They're not going to get any favors
if they lose 44-10. So, you know, if they go into Athens and, you know, are right there, in other words, if they go into Athens and lose the way they lost to Clemson in 2016, right? Or if they are 2016, what year was that? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are- you know, so then we've got sort of a different story.
2015 and Clemson.
You know, I mean, obviously, for playoff contention, you'd have to run the table after that. But still, know, there's going to be a lot to play for after Saturday. But I love the fact that you know it's going to be. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up, you know, in the top three or four of the highest rated, you know, the most watched games of the season when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.